Good morning. At the center of Scott Walker's so-called jobs plan is a promise that he'll create 250,000 jobs. He gives absolutely no plan or indication of how he will follow through on that promise. And that promise is a little hard to believe when you look at his record. This is the same Scott Walker who shut down his Office of Economic Development in the middle of the worst recession in decades. The same Scott Walker who derided successful regional economic development efforts while allowing the Park East, a blighted urban brownfield under his jurisdiction, to remain undeveloped and its economic potential completely squandered. How are you going to create one job, let alone 250,000, when you show no plan, absolutely no plan of accomplishing that goal, and you have no record of accomplishment on job creation? In his talking point jobs plan, he makes no reference to how those jobs will be created, aside from mixing in tired old George Bush ideas that we all know do not work, like more tax cut for corporations and the very well-to-do. This additional burden on state finances will almost double our deficit from $2.7 to over $4.5 billion. And no doubt decimate priorities like healthcare, education, and local aids to pay for fire, police, and first responders. And to pay for these massive tax break giveaways with nothing for working or middle-class families will require deep cuts to education, workforce development, healthcare, and other important priorities. How else will you come up with the $4.5 billion to close that budget hole? And so that leaves us with this empty chair with my opponent's name on it. Scott Walker will not debate Tom Barrett outside Madison or Milwaukee. My opponent will not debate me anywhere. In fact, when I proposed 5 debates last week, her campaign categorically ruled out any joint public appearances between the two of us. Not surprisingly, several newspapers have editorialized against that decision. The Appleton Post-Crescent, for example, termed her refusal and the excuse as lame. After a week of reflecting on her categorical refusal to not debate me anywhere, I have come to one answer, one conclusion, as why she will not debate me. If I was Scott Walker's running mate, I would not want to be in a position to defend his abysmal record of mismanagement, nor his hollow jobs plan. The more we hear from Scott Walker and the more we learn about Rebecca Clayfish, the more it becomes clear that we cannot trust either, especially on the most important issue this election, the issue of jobs. Whether it's an empty jobs plan devoid of any concrete ideas and no record of job creation at all, or whether it is baseless attacks and lame excuses that have nothing to do with anything on why they will not stand behind their jobs plan in a public forum, the more we learn, the more it becomes clear that we cannot trust Scott Walker and his record of mismanagement, and his running mate should not be taken serious at all. Thank you.
Tom, what do you think of Rebecca Clayfish's decision to mention her cancer in a campaign ad critical of healthcare reform?
Mm-hmm. I've not had a chance to see the ad, although I've heard about it.
Do you think that she should have revealed her illness before the primary election?
That was her decision. That's up to her. And I was clear on that when I was asked that question about 2 weeks ago. That was a personal decision and up to her and her family.
And she says the reason she won't debate you is because in Tom Barrett's debate with Scott Walker, according to her, he made false assertions two-thirds of the time and then basically suggested that mm-hmm. you would do the same, and there's no point in giving you more of a sort of a a microphone to tell lies, mm-hmm. I guess is the way that she's described it to me. How do you respond to that?
Well, what's nice about this is since we've had about a couple of weeks to reflect back on this, we have the opportunity to see not how she would respond to that or how I will respond to that, though. And I certainly have my points on that, though. But there have been a number of third parties, specifically newspapers, who have editorialized precisely on that excuse. And all of these publications, the La Crosse Tribune, the Appleton Post-Crescent, the Manitowoc paper, in the words of the Appleton Post-Crescent, it was simply considered lame. That is precisely the reason why you have debates. Clearly, there is a difference of opinion on any number of issues between Scott Walker and Tom Barrett. That's exactly the reason why they're having debates. And that's precisely the reason why we need to have debates for Lieutenant Governor. This is the second most important constitutional office in our state. This is the office that, God forbid, something happens to the governor. It is up to the lieutenant governor to lead this state. This is a very important office, and that's exactly the reason why I'm running for this office in the first place.
When you say that she's not to be taken seriously as a candidate, what do you see as her primary shortcoming? Are we talking just about her grasp of policy issues?
What I'm talking about is when it comes to statewide candidates, the most basic and essential responsibility you have for the voters of this state is to be able to stand in a public forum and be in a position to defend your ideas and your issues. That has been completely taken out of this race because of the fact that she or a campaign has categorically ruled out any kind of forum.
Tom, you mentioned George Bush and Scott Walker sort of linked them together. Of course, they've made the attempt to link Tom Barrett to Jim Doyle. Where's the separation between Doyle and Barrett when it comes to issues like job creation?
Well, I mean, Tom Barrett's put forward a very comprehensive proposal, 67 pages. Within that document, you have a number of important aspects that will go a long way in creating jobs. First of all, you have the reorganization of the matter of economic development. Right now, that is spread across some 100 programs, about 25 different agencies. By virtue of the fact that he's put forward a proposal to reorganize that is a stark difference than the current administration. If you look, you know, beyond the 67 pages, I think there's a lot of wisdom in that because Tom Barrett recognizes, as do I, that in this state we need to focus on economic development in basically two tracks. We have to look at the traditional industries in the state, like manufacturing and agriculture, and make sure that we continue to give incentives to businesses to expand and modernize their operations. At the same time, we have to recognize the potential that biotechnology, nanotechnology, the freshwater sciences have, not just for the, you know, not just for health and medicine and science, but also as a main economic driver. So what Tom Barrett has in his plan is that kind of vision. He has the vision of where the state's going to be not just in a year from now, but 10 years from now, 20 years from now, and how we have to make those industries very competitive and attractive for businesses. At the same time, we are wrestling with a $2.5 billion budget deficit. We're going to have to make some tough choices. Very, very clear about that. One thing the state does and does very well are long-term investments, whether it's in human capital or physical capital. We have to make a priority to continue to make adequate investments in education, healthcare, workforce development, so that we can have a well-trained, highly skilled workforce to be ready to compete for the jobs of today as well as in the future.